Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
MSU, we have been telling our stories for more than 18 months, and you have yet to answer a single question I have asked. Every time I repeat these facts about the number of women who reported to employees at MSU and were silenced, you respond the exact same way. You issue a press statement saying there was no cover-up because no one who heard the reports of assault believed that Larry was committing abuse. You play word games, saying you didn't know because no one believed. I know that. And the reason everyone who heard about Larry's abuse did not believe it is because they did not listen.
You created the type of environment where victims were afraid to speak up. Little did I know you did this for years. I was afraid my scholarship would be taken that I worked so hard for. The scholarship that I went through years of abuse by multiple people to get.
But alas, Larry, you are merely a symptom of a sickness which plagues the very core of Michigan State University, threatening every little girl who steps foot on that campus, a culture of sexual abuse and the perverse, deliberate inaction to hold predators accountable.
That was Rachel Den Hollander, Lindsay Lemke, and Morgan McCall, survivors of Larry Nassar, speaking about Michigan State University's culpability during the former sports doctor's 7-day sentencing hearing. And Morgan McCall is here with us now. Hello, Morgan, and first tell us, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good today. It's rough. It's been a lot of news, a lot of things happening, but I feel kind of relieved.
How so?
Well, the sentencing is finally over. It's eaten up a lot of my time the past week and a half. I've spent almost every single day in court, and it feels nice to be home, finally.
Yeah. You know, during your impact statement, Morgan, on day 4, you were particularly fierce when you called on President Simon to step down. So she's done that. What are your thoughts today?
I think it's long overdue, which I touched on in my statement. This comes 18 months after Nassar was arrested. It comes after, you know, numerous congressmen and women, state representatives and senators. It comes from the public scrutinizing their decisions. And most importantly, from so many survivors saying, you know, we do not feel like you're taking this action. This needs to be done. I'm happy that she's finally stepped down. But I have to say, her letter announcing her resignation was particularly tone deaf, a little bit of a middle finger to victims on her way out, I feel. And when you also look at the perks that she's gaining by resigning, it's a little bit of a slap in the face.
And you called Trustee Joel Ferguson this week, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, so I called his office, and he ended up calling me.
Why did you call him, Morgan? Why did you call him?
I called him because it was the night before the last day of sentencing. There was only 3 girls left to give impact statements, and he had not showed up in the courtroom. The day prior, he made comments on a radio show laughing at the idea of the NCAA getting involved in this, saying that this was just, you know, another Nassar thing, and that there was so much more at the university to worry about, that he only spent 10 minutes deliberating Luana K. Simon's resignation. And I thought it was important for him, and I wanted to express to him directly that as a survivor, it felt insulting and frankly the least he could do to show up for that last day of court, and he declined.
He did call you back, didn't he? What did he say to you when you expressed those feelings to him?
He didn't really listen to anything that I said. I let him know that before we ended our phone call, that I didn't feel like I had been heard. He gave me a lot of PR-sounding fluff. He told me that it was our time to look towards the future, which I also believe is insulting to me as a victim, because in the past, if people had done their job as MSU faculty and mandated reporters, I wouldn't have been assaulted, to imply that my seeking accountability is holding his university back, I thought was insulting, insensitive, and derogatory. He also assured me that He had been watching the live stream, and so he was listening to survivors. However, when I asked him to come to court with me and drive a mere 10 minutes away from where he currently was, he didn't know what court we were in or what judge was presiding over sentencing. And he also did not know any details regarding these women's assaults. He was still under the impression that if a parent was in the room, Nasser would not molest the girls, which if you watch just one day, frankly, one testimony, you can find out that information that having a parent in the room didn't stop Nasser from doing what he was doing.
Well, that must have been a memorable conversation for you.
Oh, it certainly was. And actually, I detailed our conversation in a press conference that we gave after sentencing. And he actually called me again.
And said what?
I'm sure he saw that I shared our conversation. And he proposed that we work together and that I should work with the Board of Trustees to make sure this never happens again. I told him I think, frankly, it's 18 months too late. I would consider his words, but that I'm not really interested in working with him, especially considering that earlier that day, his lawyers were in federal court trying to dismiss 140 cases against Michigan State University, which I also should point out that he did not seem to know that that was happening.
Morgan, what did you feel after that conversation, that second, that one that happened after the sentencing? How did that leave you feeling?
I mean, it just confirmed the things that I thought about Mr. Ferguson. Obviously he didn't even bother to show up one day of sentencing. He felt comfortable commenting on a situation that he's clearly not educated on. He maintains that he's listening to survivors and that they're the most important thing throughout this process. However, when I expressed my concern and invitation for him to come to court with me and how important I thought that that would be, he didn't listen. And I don't think he's listening.
What would you like to see happen next at Michigan State?
So internally, I think the entire Board of Trustees should step down. There's no reason to believe that any of them didn't find out about this 2014 Title IX investigation at the same time as Luanna Simon. I would just say that, their support of Simon throughout all of this shows that they're not on our side. They were on her side. And I think that they need to follow in her footsteps. I also believe that the documents that are associated with their internal review, I think those documents need to be released. Transparency, accountability, anyone that was at the university that knew about this needs to be terminated. Yeah, I just want to see actual tangible change. When I spoke with Mr. Ferguson, he couldn't give me and wouldn't give me a real answer about what the university is doing right now to actually prevent this from happening again.
Because that has been the key to, that was the theme through every impact statement, is you don't want anyone else to go through what you had to go through.
Certainly. I mean, how can you look at this and say that their conduct is okay? And how can we look towards the future if we're still if they're focused on the past and erasing any evidence or countering the argument that they did anything wrong? These women, we're not here to ruin their lives or to be malicious. We're here to make sure that this never happens to anyone on Michigan State University's campus ever again.
Morgan, what about you? I'm wondering what, throughout this ordeal, what you've learned about yourself, particularly since making that statement in the courtroom with literally the whole world watching.
I suppose I've learned that it takes a lot to make people listen. My voice wasn't heard until I think like 70 to 80 other women spoke before me. And prior to that, when I was speaking out, when I was doing interviews, when I was releasing information on social media about what's going on, no one was listening. And it was really an eye-opening experience to see that it took 156 women coming forward to get our stories out.
What's ahead for you now, do you think?
Oh, wow. A whole lot of advocacy and pursuit of justice. I feel like I moved on from Larry Nassar weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, because I knew he was going to end up in prison. I don't want to take that for granted because so many people don't get the chance to face their abuser in court. But frankly, all of his accomplices have yet to face any consequences. They're all allowed to resign quietly and receive pension. So that's where my focus has shifted. I'm looking towards a future where we have accountable institutional officials and administrations, and hopefully creating positive change, not just for athletes, dancers, gymnasts, figure skaters, but for any student that steps foot on a higher educational institution's campus.
Morgan McCall, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And we briefly spoke with MSU trustee Joel Ferguson about his interactions with Morgan. He told us that he couldn't be in court yesterday because of Board of Trustee meetings. He also said he reached out to Morgan because, and I'm quoting him here, he wants to make something out of this and I can't do it with a bunch of people like me. He later added, maybe I was a fool for doing that. Maybe I was a fool.